All right, turning to your Bibles. Now, I got to confess, I've already, obviously there's a mistake in the bulletin when I was doing this. I want to do something a little bit different this week just because of some of the verses that we're going to be covering. I kind of wanted to help you out and save some time and just, flipping through scriptures and have the majority of the cross references actually laid out for you in the outline. But what I failed to do in doing all this, our text is not going to be Proverbs 25, verse 4. It is going to be our introductory verse, which you can turn there now, but obviously we're going to be covering 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 to 22 with that and talking about being a vessel of honor. So let's actually go to Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 4 first. As we're going to look today, I mean, really, this is one of those messages that are kind of, it's kind of one of my, I would say, life themes and really being able to be used of God and wanting to be used of God, as we'll see, as a vessel of honor, and not that of dishonor. And so one of the things we're going to majorly kind of look at is making sure that we our lives are cleansed, that we are a sanctuary, that we are pure and holy, so God is able to use us in the life of other people, in the life of this community, you know, for Him to be able to get the glory. And it's one of those things, I mean, constant use of you think utensils or things like that. I used this kind of as an example in last week's message. You know, we use a plate for dinner, lunch, whatever, breakfast, but we wash that plate to be able to use it again. We just don't throw it out, not unless we're going to be like the Greeks and throw the plates into the fireplace, you know, after the meal. We don't do that because we don't want to run and continue to buy plates and things like that. But we wash it and use it again. And that's the same thing in dealing with the Lord, that as He wants to use us, I mean, living in this world, there are things that we're going to constantly need to cleanse and purge from our lives so that we can continue to be a vessel of honor. Again, Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 4 simply says this, "Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer." I mean, the person who is making that vessel, getting rid of the dross, the impurities, so you have a pure vessel that's able to be ready to be used. And that's what God wants to do with us, and that's that process as we spend time in the Word of God and apply the truth of the Word of God in our lives, is to be able to get rid of the dross out of our lives, the impurities, things that are hindering us and our use for God. And that's what we're really going to be seeing here as we go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now let me review a couple of things. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll get started in the three things that we need to see today out of these verses. And remember, we've been coming from a place in this chapter where the importance of the study of the truth of the Word of God. Really, you know, it ties into our vision so well and just dealing with having sound doctrine and sound speech, which as we end this chapter next week, which Kurt read through, you know, it really is the culmination of really looking at that as our vision, having sound doctrine. That's why we have talked about discipleship, one of our memory verses, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Our memory verse that we have for this month, 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Those things are so important to have that sound doctrine that's been given to the Lord, to Paul, and Paul has passed down through all the generations, that it hasn't changed, it needs to have that solid doctrine. So again, for the purpose that we're not deceived. That's something that we talked about in the last couple of weeks, that there's people out there that are purposely trying to deceive. They have bad doctrine and overthrow the faith of some. That was what we saw with these two guys, Hymenaeus and Philetus. And, you know, so now we're coming to this place where Paul is laying out, and I want you to actually look at it. We'll read verse 20, we'll have a word of prayer. But it says, "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." Hymenaeus and Philetus were vessels that were dishonoring, all right? They were not standing on the truth of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, they were deceiving others and overthrowing their faith, all right? And so that's the kind of the context as we go into what we need to see today and being a vessel of honor. We have that decision to make. Do we want to be a vessel of honor? Do we want to stand on solid doctrine, speaking sound truth of the Word of God? Or do we want to fall into the category of being a vessel of dishonor like a Hymenaeus and Philetus? Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started in what we need to see today. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. Thank you for your word. I thank you for a place that you've given us that we're able to be able to have the privilege of being able to study the truth of your word together. Lord, and I pray that we would have open hearts and open minds, that we would reflect, that we would self-evaluate, Lord, in the light of your word. And Lord, I just pray that you work in our hearts the things that we need to deal with and make sure that we are a vessel of honor, that we can continually to be used of you. Lord, help us to understand the importance of this, and again, that it's just not just another Sunday, it's not just another message, Lord, but that it would change us, and that again, that we would be a people that can bring you glory and honor. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so going back to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20 and looking at position is what I titled this point of where we're at, position of being a vessel of honor or dishonor. Now again, let's read verse 20, and it says this, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." And really, when you look at this and how it's laid out, you can easily see where the vessels of gold and silver would be that which is of honor, but the vessels of wood and earth would be that of dishonor in a context that we're looking at. And so again, we're talking about where in this chapter, where, you know, Paul talking to Timothy, encouraging Timothy to teach faithful men. I mean, they're all part of this household of God. And they would be vessels of honor, but again, we've mentioned two people that were vessels of dishonor in this house. They're kind of like the black sheep of the family. Or, you know, looking at your family, there's always that person or people, whatever. It's like, well, we really don't have that much to do with that side of the family, or these because of this, that, and the other, whatever the case is. You know, and you know what? Spiritually speaking, we've got the same thing. In God's house, there's going to be vessels of honor, and there's also vessels of dishonor. The question is for us, which position are we going to be in? Are we going to be a vessel of honor? Are we going to be that of dishonor? We're going to be gold and silver like that? Or are we going to be like wood and earth, something that is perishable, something that is not eternal? Now, I have the reference there for you, but it's not all out just because of the length of it. But I do want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, because it really is something we've already used as a cross-reference and coming through our message, and we talked about a sure foundation, that foundation being the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's a matter of what we build on that salvation, or on that foundation. It's not enough just to be saved in a sense. Yes, saved, going to heaven, but God desires so much more for us, and that's something that we're going to talk about today quite extensively as we get into this next reference here in verse 21. But right now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, picking it up in verse 11, we're going to read down through verse 15. The context is dealing with this judgment seat of Christ. When the Lord comes back for the church, we are ushered into the judgment seat of Christ, where we're judged for our service, what we have done as believers in Christ. We're not judged for our sin. That's already been dealt with on Calvary's cross. Our sins are forgiven. But this judgment seat of Christ, which we'll again talk more about as we come through our doctrines this year, is for our service. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 11, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation," notice, gold, silver, precious stones, and then it says, "wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." That ties into our eternal security. We're not going to lose our salvation or anything. But dealing with your work, easy to understand in a sense, quite simply I want to lay out. If your work is gold, silver, precious stones, that's something that abides the fire. That's something that is refined by fire. Matter of fact, it's something that will, in a sense, when we're talking about a relationship with the Lord, is that which is eternal. But wood, hay, and stubble are things that will obviously be burned by fire. Those are works of our flesh, things that we've done because we want to satisfy ourselves as opposed to doing the things that would please God. That's how those things break down. Now, if I was actually preaching through this passage, I would define it even more so because it all has significance. But I do want to talk about the gold and silver specifically because that's what it talks about in the passage that we're in. Vessels of honor being gold or silver. Now, gold represents your love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love Him, you want to spend time with Him. Now, literally, this is the easiest thing that we can accumulate every day. Gold. And what I mean by that is, as we spend time in the Word of God, in our growing in our relationship with the Lord, that is gold. We love Him, we spend time with Him. As we spend time in the Word, as we spend time in prayer, that doesn't require anybody else. It doesn't require anything but you taking the time and spending time with the Lord. And you can do that literally every day. Now, you think about it, in a temporal sense, if you had if somehow the government says, you know what, I'm going to allow Faith Bible Church to be able to, as many times as they want, on a daily basis, go to Fort Knox and get a bar of gold. I would have to say, we probably ought to take the government up on that. Think of all that we can do, right? That sort of thing. We would probably find some way, or maybe not even Fort Knox, but just some, whatever, Federal Reserve. You can go and grab a $100 bill every day, whatever the case is. I'm sure we'd be thinking about, you know what, that's probably pretty good. I don't think we even need to pray about that. Let's go do that. We would do that. All right? I mean, that sort of thing. But spiritually, it's the same, even easier than that. We can get spiritual gold every single day throughout the day as we spend time in the Word developing and growing with our walk in the Lord. That is gold. All right? That is, ties in with charity, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. That love relationship with God represented by gold. I mean, it's like the number one law rule. I mean, you see it throughout the Bible. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, so forth and so on. Now, the silver represents sharing the truth of the Word of God with others. Now, that might be a little bit more challenging. And say more challenging for those, for others, whatever. It's like, oh, I'm shy, I don't like talking to people, whatever, that sort of thing. But still, it doesn't require that the other person has to get saved for you to have silver. It's a matter of God gives you the opportunity, the open door, to share the truth of the Word of God, you're getting silver. And that's something as well that you can possibly do on a daily basis. If God gives you an opportunity, open door, to be able to share the truth, you share it. That's the silver. You're taking the love relationship, the gold that you have with the Lord, and being able to turn around and share it with somebody else. That's silver. It doesn't matter whether they get saved, no matter if they want to believe it or not, whatever. But you have an open door, an opportunity, they ask you a question, whatever comes up, and you share truth with them, that is silver. Now, precious stones actually represent you investing the Word of God in somebody's life. That deals with discipleship, and that does deal with somebody's will that they choose that they want to have that. All right? And that's not something that can happen necessarily every day or whatever the case is. But those are those three things, like gold, silver, precious stones. Now, if we're going to be a vessel of honor, we need to be that of having what? Gold and silver. That God is using us, and we'll get into that as we get into 2 Timothy 2, verse 21, but we're still got to cover this in verse 20. And let's do that, actually. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse 20 one more time. Alright? It says this, "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver." So what I've done is tie in, if we're going to be that vessel of gold and silver, it comes back to our work that we need to do. Gold and silver type work. In other words, that we're, again, spending time with the Lord in the Word, learning and growing, applying the truth of the Word of God in our lives, all of that is gold. Sharing that truth is the silver. But there's also, as it says in verse 20, but also contrast to the gold and silver, wood and of earth, things that are not going to last. It says, and some to honor, that would be the gold and silver, and some to dishonor. And again, what's our position going to be? That of honor or dishonor? Now, I want you to notice, and I have this on your outline sheet, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 5. It says this, "For this is the will of God." Now, sometimes I'll start, what is God's will in my life? Well, this is specific. It says it right here. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence," that is the word that just means desiring things that are forbidden, lust, that sort of thing, "even as the Gentiles which know not God." So we shouldn't be going around lusting and doing the same things that the Gentiles are doing, something that we kind of talked about in our question and answer Bible study in our first question that we had this morning. But again, I point out this reference because, again, our body is considered a vessel. Thus we sang the praise, "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy." All right, that sort of thing. And so we should know how to possess our vessel. In other words, we shouldn't allow our flesh to get into the things that the world does. All right, and so you see that very clearly. This is part of the will of God, and that's what He wants. He wants us to be vessels of honor. Well, why? He wants to use us, and that gets into verse 21. Let's go back to it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Now, we have seen this as we've come through Titus, you know, and I have a cross-reference there for that. But before we get into that, let me just simply lay out verse 21. All right? To purge, again, to get rid of the impurities, the things that are not helping you to be a vessel of honor, the things that are hindering ourselves from being able to be used of God. If a man therefore purge himself from these. So what are the these? In a context, he's been talking about those who are teaching false doctrine. Go back to verse 17. 2 Timothy 2:17. And their word will eat as doth a canker, like a worm that is chewing things up, eating things up. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. But purge yourself from these. Because these type people, like Hymenaeus and Philetus, are overthrowing people's faith. Why would you want to fellowship and hang around somebody that is causing you trouble, is causing you, hindering you to be able to be used of God? So literally, when he's talking about purge yourself from these, in a context that we've been dealing with, are those who are not sound in doctrine, that are teaching false doctrine, that are literally overthrowing the faith. Why would you want to be around something like that? This comes to mind. This Friday, I went up to Kansas City. I was up there for a karate clinic. A group that we do things together, and it's been a while since I've been to their clinic, so I was up on Friday for that and had a good time. But after that, I went to the police station. Usually once a month, I write with my old department as their chaplain, one of their chaplains, and spend time with officers. And I wrote with an officer that I hadn't written for 3 years. Just because he's been on different shifts, and obviously I'm not up there all the time. And so it was good to be able to ride with him. He likes to hunt, by the way. He's got a new hunting dog. He showed him a picture, and he was like in a driver's seat or something like that, you know. Really cute dog. Reminds me a lot of Charlie. Really does. Anyhow, he's a go-getter type of officer. Really good, you know. And so we had this one traffic stop where this lady was pulling out of a particular hotel in our town that's just known for drugs, prostitution, and things like that. And pull her over, and she's got somebody in the car with him. Anyhow, I don't have time to get into the details, and nor would I get into the details, but just suffice it to say, she's hanging around somebody that's not good. All right? He actually, you know, she had a warrant, had to put her under arrest, couldn't leave her car where we had stopped her. The guy that was in a passenger seat didn't want to drive the car, didn't want to give us his name, nothing like that. Got out of the car and walked away. I guess he was going back to the hotel or something like that. I looked down on the ground, looked like there was some suspicious, leafy type material that was there, that sort of thing. And it's like, why would you be hanging around this guy? And a lot of times people get in trouble because they're hanging around the wrong kind of people doing what's wrong. See it all the time in policing. All the time. Spiritually speaking. All right? Again, it's not a problem, you know, you want to, you know, obviously we need to try to reach everybody, that sort of thing, but why spend time, especially if you're not studying in the Word of God, and you're around somebody who is having deceptive doctrine, you're going to overthrow your faith. And if you're in that place where you're not solid on doctrine, understanding what the Lord would have for you, how is He going to use you? He can't. All right? He's going to be limited. And that's why in verse 21 it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, means to be set aside for service. The same word that we have as being holy. Being a saint. Same type word. I mean, same definition. It says, and meet or fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. That's what the Lord wants for us. Again, this is my life theme, being used of God. God wants to use every one of us. If He didn't, He wouldn't have us saved. If He didn't, He wouldn't have left us here for the purpose of being able to, again, be used of Him, to be able to reach others for Christ. It's not just, as I always say, it's not just a pastor's responsibility to share the truth of the Word of God. There are people in your life, in your hemisphere, that I will probably never have contact with. They are there in your life, and God has set it so He can use you in their lives. But the qualification is making sure that we're going to be a vessel of honor, that we're in the right position, that we are solid on the truth of the Word of God and ready to go, that we're sanctified, that every day you get up, I don't care what your job is, I don't care if you're retired, then whatever your sphere of influence and the people in your lives, God wants to use you. He wants you to be sanctified, set aside, holy, ready to go, meet, fit for the master's use. He wants to use you. But He's not going to make you. We have to decide, Then I want to have some gold. We got to decide. I want some silver. We have to decide that I want to sacrifice, spend the time with the Lord on a daily basis that I need to. I'm going to spend time in the Word. I'm going to spend time praying. I want to try to apply the truth of the Word of God in my life. All right? And be able to be ready for God to use me, to be ready. Now, it may be the day, maybe He doesn't have anybody for me to share the truth with today. I don't know, but I'm going to be ready. I want to be ready. I have Titus chapter 3, verse 8 on your outline sheet there. Don't worry about turning to it. It was one of our memory verses that we had as we came through the book of Titus. I'm sure everybody is ready to quote it right now with me. Don't even have to look at the outline. Oh, we got this, Pastor. We got this. I know this. I can say it backwards if you want. I'm going to read it. It says this. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which I believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. All right, this is something that is a continual process that we need to be doing, maintaining good works. God wants us, wants to use us, all right, because it's good and profitable men. All right, and there's many different verses I could use in dealing with talking about good works. You know that. Ephesians 2:10, all right, something we had as a memory verse years ago when we went through the book of Ephesians, you know. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. God has already laid out good works for us to do. You go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, just look a page over, down in verse 9. It says this, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. All right? God has already laid, that's amazing, before you were born, before any of us were born, God had all these good works laid out for us to do. Do you ever have a to-do list? You know, you got to go shopping or something like that. You write down the things that you got to get. Seems like the tendency to happen is what? You forget the to-do list at home and forget what you need to get. And so, I mean, that happened. I know that. That's happened. Since moving down here, I've probably been to Home Depot more times than ever in my life. I know that's the case. And one day, it's like I went there, got something, forgot what I was supposed to get, got all the way back home, and had to go right back to Home Depot, turn around and do it, and get what I originally came there to get. You know, that sort of thing. I mean, that sort of thing happens. Well, God has a big to-do list for us. Now, He don't forget. He knows what He desires for us to do. Who we're supposed to meet, develop relationships with, to be able to share the truth of the Word of God. He has a big to-do list for each and every one of us. Now, He don't forget. And He knows what He wants us to accomplish. And He is not up in heaven saying, I got these thousand things I want to do in a lifespan of the people of Faith Bible Church. And you know what? But they're just going to have to figure it out on their own. He's not like me on a Wednesday when I have the Charles Boyce Challenge. You got to try to guess what I'm thinking. God is ready to reveal what He wants us to do day by day, week by week, month by month. It may be simply, it's like, you know what? Where you're at right now, it's like, I need you to make sure you're getting in the Word of God. That's my to-do list for you today. Make sure you study the Word of God. I got something for you. I got something. This is a situation that's going to come up, and you're going to need what I want you to read and study today. Maybe that's it. That's it. But He's got a process of preparing you to get to the place that all of a sudden there's a person at work, there's a person at school, there's a person in your neighborhood, maybe a person in your family that is going to need exactly what the Lord has prepared you to do. But if we don't do those things, then we're not going to be ready. You know what God's going to have to do? Well, I still got this to-do list. I still got this thing I need done in that person's life. Charles is not going to do it because he's being stupid. I need to get somebody else to do it. And then when I get to the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be determined, how much did you get done on the to-do list? Did you do all these? See, all these things that I have here is, man, it's gold, silver, precious stones. But you're more focused on you, the wood, hay, and stubble. Now let's see what happens with your work, your to-do list. We're going to put it in the fire. Let's see what happens. Oh, there's nothing there. Sorry. You're here. You're in heaven. But I can't further use you to rule and reign throughout all eternity. What a disappointment that's going to be. And there's no do-overs. No do-overs. Now, again, I can spend a lot of time on this. I'm going to share something this week with me. Normally, I work 3 days a week. Well, the new schedule came out, and I didn't even think to look to see if I was going to be, because it comes out on a the new pay, our pay period starts on a Thursday. And I'd already worked my, you know, my usual 3 days, Monday through Wednesday. Well, they put me on for Thursday, and I didn't realize that. So 7 o'clock rolls around. I'm just literally up, and I'm right now my personal Bible reading. I'm in Matthew. I'm reading in Matthew, and all of a sudden I get a call, and I see it on my phone. It's the casino, and I'm like, "Aren't you coming to work today?" Like, I didn't realize I was on a schedule. Well, yeah, looking at it right here, you're on the schedule. Well, I've already worked 3 days, and I know that I'm working 4 days this next coming week. No, you're right here. Can you come to work? I'm like, "Yeah, I'll be there." So I get there, and if you know me, I like to be organized on time and everything like that. So I'm showing up there, and I'm getting started an hour late. Because before I left the house, I was halfway through the chapter I was reading. I'm going to finish my chapter. Right? I'm already late. You know, I'm going to finish my chapter and see what the Lord would have for me. And that particular thing that I read was dealing with, in the chapter, was basically in Matthew chapter 5, that really you need to be doing, whatever you're doing it for God and not for man. And my cross-reference was Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. That was it. And so I got ready, got there, my first hour was standing at the podium, you know, making sure people are of age to get in there. And I'm glad I had that hour because I need to get my brain right. I need an hour to pray. You know, and that day, I tell you what, it seemed like everything was a disaster for me. I mean, things that happened at the casino that were, again, not my fault or anything, it was just, nothing was working out. Nothing was as it was usually supposed to be. When I left there, I needed to get gas in the car. I go to the first gas station, and it wouldn't accept my card. It wouldn't slide in and everything like that. And it's like, this is crazy. Got in my car and went to another gas station. You know, I get home. Trish is baking something. I'm trying to get water out of the refrigerator. My elbow hits the flour, falls on the floor. I mean, it's like literally everything was not going well at all. But my mindset at work was, I got to remember. Because usually every day, I have an opportunity to get some silver. To be able to share something with somebody. And if my brain is focused on me being late, things in the flesh, you know, all the things that, you know, could be irritable to me and that sort of thing, I'm going to be missing opportunities to be able to share truth. Because literally, it probably happens on a daily basis. I have something, some conversation, whatever, I'm able to share something, you know. And if I'm so focused on the temporal, I'm missing out on what God maybe has for me that day. The person I need to talk to that day. And it's like, we got to understand, God wants to use us, and He probably wants to use us on a daily basis, but that can't happen if we don't put ourselves in a position of being a vessel of honor. Spending time with Him, getting that goal, being ready for sound speech, to be able to share the truth with somebody. If we're not putting ourselves in that position, then God's not going to be able to use us and get that to-do list that He has for us to get done. We need to move on. You go back, again, we left off in 21, I'm going to read the 22 as well. It says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Point 3, verse 22, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Now, we talk about the position we need to be in, verse 20. Verse 21, purging those things that are in our lives, not just people, but we also think about just personally, things that we know the Lord points out, you know what, this is kind of dragging you down. You need to deal with this. So I can really, really use you to the full extent. But it continues on with pursuing. And verse 22, there is so much in it. I mean, first, it's like this, what I call the replacement principle. God doesn't just ask you to flee something without replacing it. And you see literally right here, it says, hey, flee youthful lusts, but this is what you need to follow. And what he is asking Timothy to follow are the same things that are the same thing as like having that gold and silver, being a vessel of honor. Literally, it deals with that. And we'll talk about that here in a second. But first it talks about, again, flee also youthful lust. Remember, Timothy is a young man. He's a young pastor. All right? And obviously, you know, Paul's telling him this. It's like he realizes, like, you know, okay, I mean, this is directly to Timothy. Flee youthful lust. We know how it is. We're all young. Some of us still young. And we do some stupid stuff. I'm just saying, like, I'll be first to admit it. I shared one time where I was in high school. My friends and I, we raced to get to his house. I shared that story with you. I was going 80 miles an hour in my dad's truck in a residential area. Grace of God, I didn't wreck, kill somebody, or get caught. Stupid stuff. Stupid. Oh, we've done some stupid stuff. And it's like, if I share something, you'd be like, how are you, pastor? And God's grace. And we need to flee from youthful lust. But it's not just flee, but we need to follow that, which is right. And this really ties in exactly with what we talked about as far as purging ourselves from these. Instead of hanging around somebody that's going to be youthful lust or something that's going to get us into trouble, we need to make sure that we're following and being with people that are doing what's right. That's what this verse ends up saying, and we deal with. All right, because it says, again, verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. We'll deal with that in a second. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You see how these three verses tie together? All right? It's like, what I need to make sure that I have built in my life are people that are pursuing the same thing, being able to please God. That they also want to be vessels of honor, not vessels of dishonor. That's what I need to make sure I surround myself with, because it's going to help me to do the right thing. Now, it says there again, here's the thing, flee these things. Now, I got on your outline some references that talk about things that we need to flee. We've already talked about, in a sense, read from one of them, but look at 1 Corinthians 6:18. The same thing as in 1 Thessalonians that we saw. It says, flee fornication. All right, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So you see where Paul again is saying, flee fornication. All right, you know what? I kind of mentioned this in our second question that we had in our question answer Bible study, and dealing with marriage, divorce, remarriage, and all of that. You know, today it's acceptable. I mean, obviously, with people living together, I mean, that the Bible calls that fornication. It's like we don't want to use that word, all that can offend somebody. That's what it is. All right? And Paul is saying, hey, flee that. Flee fornication. I also have this 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. It says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Idolatry is the same thing as covetousness. It's defined as that in Colossians. All right? So we think, well, I'm not an idolater. I don't bow down to a statue or anything like that. Anything that you covet, anything that takes away from your relationship with the Lord, that's idolatry. All right? That sort of thing. And it's like, flee that. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Again, the love of money. Instead of loving God, love of money. All right? Nothing wrong with having money. All right? Responsible with it. That steward. Nothing wrong. You're rich. You're rich. Praise God. But if your love for money oversees your relationship with the Lord, then it's a problem. All right? It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. These are Christians. These are believers that is being referred to here. But it says this, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, something that we're dealing with in this passage, godliness, faith, another thing we're mentioning here, love, another thing, patience, meekness. In other words, follow that which is eternal, not that which is of the flesh, things that are temporal, that are just going to burn. So we see three things here, again, in these cross references, the things that we're supposed to be fleeing and what we're supposed to follow after. Follow after that which is eternal. Now again, we go back to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. It says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. The righteousness and the charity match up with the gold. It's that love relationship with the Lord. That which is righteous. I mean, Paul, we're going to see this as we get to chapter 4, where he has a crown of righteousness for those who love his appearing. All right? All of that ties in together. That's what I need to be following after, is God's righteousness or in his love or charity. On your outline sheet, I have the reference here, 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. All right? That's what starts it all off. All right? My love relationship with the Lord, that righteousness, it's the goal. That's what, again, I need to be following after that. The next two things that are mentioned here, again, I'm putting them together, not quite in order as it's laid out in this verse, but it says faith and peace. Those two go together with the silver. Because the silver is, what did I say, is about sharing the truth of the Word of God. To really define it, I'm not going to take the time for you to go there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that chapter lays that out. So we're talking about the responsibility to preach the truth of the Word of God. That faith, to share that faith that we have. Alright? It's the gospel of peace. Paul refers to the gospel of grace as the gospel of peace as well. So sharing our faith in Christ, which is the gospel of peace, is that silver. So literally, the things that we have control over on a daily basis is what we need to be following. As I have that goal, that love relationship with the Lord, which is His righteousness, which is, again, it's that love, it's that charity. I can do that all the time. All right? The time that I spend in the Word of God, time I spend in prayer. And then as I have the opportunity, there's that silver, there's that peace, that faith that we have, that I'm sharing that with somebody else. Interesting enough, in the Bible, silver is a picture of redemption. Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt for 20 pieces of silver. Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. In the minor prophet book of Hosea, that Hosea, his wife, who was a prostitute, went back to prostitute, he goes after her, redeems her with silver. Silver is a picture of redemption. And as we share our faith, the gospel of peace, for what? For the lost to have redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they too have a relationship with Christ. I can do that anytime that God gives me an open door, an opportunity. It's a matter of whether we're going to take it or not. Gold and silver, vessel of honor. Flee these things, these youthful lusts. Follow after righteousness. Follow after the faith. Charity, peace. You notice on your outline sheet I have the reference Romans 14:17 that ties in this as well. It says this, Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink," those are temporal things, "but righteousness and peace," and it says, "and joy in the Holy Ghost." You see, the two of the three things that we've been talking about today, the joy would match up to the precious stones, the people that you invest the truth of the Word of God in, like in discipleship, whatever the case is. All right? But today, we're really focused on that gold and that silver. Romans 14:17 ties in to that. Now, I want to go to this verse one more time and give you one more reference again to emphasize what I've been talking about in the sense as far as the fellowship we need to have with people that are pursuing or following the same thing. Again, verse 22 says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." And it's so important to have like-minded believers in Christ in your life to help support you, to help challenge you to pursue what the Word of God lays out for us here. I mean, that's why it's the body of Christ working together. We got issues, problems, whatever that we pray for one another, but we spend time with one another in the Word of God to be able to help. This is the goal. Plus, being able to work with people, same goal. Like I said, it's this weekend and just training in karate and just on Saturdays, usually the first Saturday of the month, I go up to Kansas City to work with my advanced students and my black belts. Had a good turnout yesterday and solid 2 hours working out and just going through different kata, strikes, applications, stuff like that. It was a good workout. And it's nice to have a good workout with people who want to be there. It's not it is voluntary. It's not a mandatory thing, really, but it's voluntary. And it's like, it is nice to be working out with a group of people that they're there and they want to learn. Especially as an instructor. I'm sure we've all dealt with people that you had to teach them and they really didn't want to be taught. That's just frustrating. But when you got a group of people that they're all there ready to learn and work out together, learn together, man, that's a good time. That's a good workout. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to be. Local church is supposed to be. That we're fleeing the same things and we're following the same things. Why? So that we can be in that position of a vessel of honor. That God is ready to use us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. It'll be our last reference we'll look at today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, again, remember the context of this group of people, that they had all kinds of divisions and problems within their church, and then chapter after chapter, Paul was laying out things to be able to deal with them, and to rebuke them, and exhort them, and so forth and so on. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. All right, that's the central thing of understanding what fellowship is, around the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course, it's going to be around His Word. In verse 10, it goes on, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." We use this cross-reference when we talked about 2 Timothy 2:2. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. You shall be able to teach others also." Being joined together, no divisions, perfectly joined together, in the same mind, in the same judgment. When we put this together, and what we've seen today in these three verses, if we're going to have that likelihood that God is going to be using us, that we're sanctified, that we're meet or fit for the master's use, prepared unto every good work that He's laid out for us to do, then we got to recognize that, man, who am I fellowshipping with? Again, I'm not saying that you don't hang around people that are not like-minded. I mean, our goal is to be able to reach people. You can't reach people if you don't have a relationship with them. Right? That's a simple truth. I mean, because there's some churches there, especially more legalistic, it's like, you know, can't do this, can't hang out here, things like this, so forth and so on, and all that. Well, how in the world are you going to reach them? Literally, like my devotion that I had yesterday, and looking at Jesus Christ, you know, He ate with the publicans and the sinners, and the Pharisees are like, "How dare you? How dare you do that?" Well, those who are healthy, they don't need a physician. Those that are sick. We have some Christians, some churches like, "Oh, this, I can't believe you're going to do this or hang out with that person." Look at them. Well, you know what? He's no different than you. It's only the grace of God.
Right. Praise the Lord.
Anyway, how am I going to reach them? That's not what I'm saying. Right? We need to make sure we have relationships, build a relationship to reach people. But somebody that's in their sin, lost person, or a person, a believer in Christ, that's doing what's wrong, I'm not going to invest my time and spend with them that I'm going to be drawn to what they're doing instead of drawing them to the truth. I'm not going to have that kind of fellowship with them that are bent on not wanting to know the truth and care less about the truth. Why am I going to spend time with that? I want to spend my time with those who are following the same thing that I want to follow, and that is what is eternal, the gold, that love relationship, the silver, that faith, that peace, that being able, they have that same desire to be able to share and invest the truth of the Word of God in other people. That's what I want to spend my time with, because it's going to help me do what is right. It's absolutely no different than, you know, you want to exercise, you want to maybe get in better shape. Isn't it easier to do that with somebody else that's doing the same thing? They encourage each other, keep each other accountable. Sometimes it's hard to kind of do that sort of thing on your own. Like if I was serious about running, I need to get somebody to be a running partner to keep me, because I do not like running. I know that. Alright? That sort of thing. It's the same thing here. Exact same thing. So we've got to ask ourselves, right now, what position are you in? What position am I in? Position of being able to be used of God because of a vessel of honor, or not being able to be used of God because I'm a vessel of dishonor? We need to examine that. Be real with ourselves. And if you see that you're in a position that God really can't use you, what are you going to do about it? Purge the things out of your life so you can be used, or be satisfied with where you're at? There are consequences to these decisions. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for today. Thank you for your word. I know that every time I get up and try to preach it, teach it, don't even begin to do it justice. But Father, I trust the Spirit of God to take the Word of God, your truth, and work it in all of our hearts. And I pray that all of us would have open hearts and minds to it and to apply your Word in our lives. That, again, allow the Word of God to change us, to cleanse us, to purify us, to purge us, so we can be exactly that, a vessel of honor, that we're sanctified, that we're meet for your use and prepared unto every good work. Lord, indeed, you have a to-do list for us. while we're on this planet. You have a job for us to do, a work for us to do. What a great thing it will be to get to the judgment seat of Christ and realize we've completed everything that you've given us to do. I know some of us, it's like we like to put our to-do list and we'll put things on there that we've already got done, so we just have the satisfaction of crossing it off that we've gotten it done. I know I've done that. Oh yeah, I forgot this. Let me put that on there so I can cross it off because it looks good. Lord, spiritually, let that be the reality that, man, everything that you've given us to do, we cross it off one by one, we accomplish it. Yeah, we're going to fall down. Yeah, there's some times we're going to get dirty and we need to pick ourselves up, purge, cleanse ourselves with your word, and continue on doing what you've given us to do. Let that be the truth and reality in our lives. Asking in Jesus' name, amen.